Now, if you have trouble maintaining your diet, it might help to have some extra imagery to remind you how many calories are going to be coming at you. How about enabling the pathologist to use their cell phone again to see at a microscopic level and telemeter that data back to the cloud and make better diagnostics? In fact, the whole era of laboratory medicine is completely changing. We can now, leveraging microfluidics, like this chip made by Steve Quake at Stanford, microfluidics can replace an entire lab of technicians and put it on a chip, enable thousands of tests to be done at the point of care anywhere in the world. And this is really going to leverage technology to the rural and the underserved and enable what used to be $1,000 tests to be done at pennies and at the point of care. If we go down the small pathway a little bit further, we're entering the era of nanomedicine, the ability to make devices super small to the point where we can design red blood cells or microrobots that will monitor our blood system or immune system, or even those that might even clear out the clots from our arteries. Now, how about exponentially cheaper? Not something that we usually think about in the era of medicine, but hard disks used to be $3,400 for about 10 megabytes. Exponentially cheaper in genomics now. The genome cost about $1 billion about 10 years ago when the first one came out. We're now approaching essentially a $1,000 genome probably next year, and in 2 years, about a $100 genome. What are we going to do with $100 genomes? And soon we'll have millions of these tests available, and that's when it gets interesting, when we start to crowdsource that information, and we enter the era of true personalized medicine, the right drug for the right person at the right time, instead of what we're doing today, which is essentially the same drug for everybody, sort of blockbuster drug medications, in many cases, which don't work for you, the individual. And many, many different companies are working on leveraging these approaches. And I'll just show you a simple example from 23andMe again. My data indicates that I've got about average risk for developing macular degeneration, a kind of blindness. But if I take that same data, upload it to DecodeMe, I can look at my risk for, example, type 2 diabetes. I'm at almost twice the risk for type 2 diabetes. I might want to watch how much dessert I have at the lunch break, for example. It might change my behavior. Leveraging my knowledge of my pharmacogenetics, how my genes modulate what my drugs do and what doses I need, are going to become increasingly important, and once in the hands of the individual and the patient, will make better drug dosing and selection available. So again, it's not just genes. It's multiple details, our habits, our environmental exposures. When was the last time your physician asked you where you've lived? Geomedicine, where you live, what you've been exposed to can dramatically affect your health. We can capture that information. So genomics, proteomics, the environment, all this data streaming at us individually and as us as poor physicians, how do we manage it? Well, we're now entering the era of systems medicine or systems biology, where we can start to integrate all this information. And by looking at the patterns, for example, in our blood of 10,000 biomarkers at a single test, we can start to look for these little patterns and detect disease at a much earlier stage. And this is being called by Lee Hood, the father of the field, P4 medicine. We're going to be predictive. We're going to know what you're likely to have. We can be preventative. That prevention can be personalized. And more importantly, it's going to become increasingly participatory through websites like Patients Like Me or managing your data on a Microsoft Health Vault or a Google Health. Leveraging this together in participatory ways is going to become increasingly important. So I'll finish up with exponentially better. We'd like to get therapies better and more effective. Now, today we treat high blood pressure mostly with pills. What if we take a new device and knock out the nerve vessels that help modulate blood pressure and in a single therapy basically cure hypertension? This is a new device that essentially is doing that, that should be on the market within a year or two. How about more targeted therapies for cancer? Right? I'm an oncologist, and I know today most of what we give is essentially poison. We've learned at Stanford and other places that we can discover cancer stem cells, the ones that seem to be really responsible for disease relapse. So if you think of cancer as a weed, we often can whack the weed away. It seems to shrink, but it often comes back. So we're attacking the wrong target. The cancer stem cells remain, and the tumor can return months or years later. We're now learning to identify the cancer stem cells and identify those as targets and go for the long-term cure. And we're entering the era of personalized oncology, the ability to leverage all this data together, analyze the tumor, and come up with a real specific cocktail for the individual patient. Now, I'll close with regenerative medicine. So I've studied a lot about stem cells. Embryonic stem cells are particularly powerful. We also have adult stem cells throughout our body.